the Giants had one of the better trade pieces on the market available in Carlos Rodon, and they did not trade him despite their position in the standings being 4.5 games back, being a game under 500. So why didn't they trade Rodon? Why did they make the moves that they made, including trading Darren Ruff? And also, how about this? The Padres got Juan Soto. So all of that next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about the trade deadline. The Giants, like I said, they had Carlos Rodon, they had Jock Peterson. They could have traded these guys and they didn't. So we're going to get into why they didn't do it. We're going to get into Juan Soto ending up in the division with the San Diego Padres and what that means for the Giants moving forward. But first, I want to talk about what the Giants did do here on this trade deadline day. So they made a few moves. It seemed apparent early in the day that they were going to be selling because the first deal that came across our Twitter feeds was that the Giants traded Darren Ruff to the New York Mets. They also traded Kurt Casale to the Seattle Mariners and Matthew Boyd also to the Mariners. And they traded Trevor Rosenthal to the Brewers. So a lot of kind of small random moves. And then last night they acquired a catcher and a shortstop. Same player plays shortstop and catcher in Ford Proctor. So we'll get into all of those. But I think the most consequential one is the Giants trading Darren Ruff to the New York Mets. This one kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think a lot of people were talking about Ruff as a likely trade candidate. I know a lot of people in my Twitter mentions are always telling me they should DFA or trade Ruff, but they actually did it. And so why this made sense for the Giants was that, first of all, Ruff just turned 36 years old, and his role on the Giants, I think they hoped he would have a bigger role where he was able to hit right-handed pitching a little bit better, but that just never materialized this year. He took, I would say, a step backwards this year. His defense got worse, and he didn't do well when he was given opportunities as more of an everyday player. The numbers against left-handed pitching are still there, but prior to the season, the Giants gave Ruff a 2-year contract extension with a club option for a third year. So Ruff was under a guaranteed deal for the rest of this year, obviously, and then next year was guaranteed as well in his age 36/37 season. So in exchange, the Giants are getting a player who in a lot of ways is actually similar in J.D. Davis from the New York Mets. J.D. Davis is 29 years old as opposed to 36 for Ruff. J.D. Davis, also a limited defensive player. In his career, he has been a net negative defensively at third base and in left field. And so I know a lot of people are out there going, what in the world? They're trading for another bad defensive player. And I'm kind of with you. But I do think that it actually is a better fit on this roster to have J.D. Davis, plus they're getting three prospects, than Darren Ruff and his guaranteed salary for next year. Whereas J.D. Davis can be retained through the arbitration process next year and the year after that, but it is not guaranteed, as arbitration is not guaranteed. In his career, let me just get through this. Defensively, J.D. Davis at third base, negative 27 defensive runs saved, negative 10 outs above average in 1,200 innings. That's been his primary position. In left field, negative 9 defensive runs saved, negative 10 outs above average in 663 innings. And at first base, negative 1 defensive run saved and 1 out above average, plus 1. Oh my God, a plus number here in 112 and 2/3 innings. And offensively, Davis has actually always been a pretty good performer. And overall in his career, he does have a 116 weighted runs created plus, and importantly, significantly, he doesn't have strong platoon splits. So he's somebody, I'm not saying he's an everyday player, because I think the fact that he's not a great defender, not a great runner, makes him someone you don't want to have going out there and having 600 plus plate appearances. But he's certainly, he's a guy who can move around and fill in at different positions and also be a DH, and he's not going to kill you when a same-handed pitcher comes in, and they're not going to have to pinch hit for him in those days when he's in the lineup, and they'll be able to pinch hit with him, whether it's a lefty or a righty on the mound. And so I just think that makes more sense. Giants got a little bit too heavy with all their platoon players, and they ended up working against them where they weren't always able. They ended up having guys like Ruff facing a right-handed pitcher too often. So I think Davis fits well. He's also local, apparently grew up a Dodgers fan, even though he's from the area. So I don't quite understand that. We'll have to get more of the story there. And again, yeah, he's younger and the contract is non-guaranteed, which I think helps. But you can keep him the same amount of time as you could have kept Ruff. Giants are also getting Thomas Zapucki, Nick Zwack, and Carson Seymour. Yeah, I'm not making those names up. Those are the real names. And these from Dan Zimborski over at Fangraphs. Here's the write-up on the other players in addition to JD Martinez coming back to the Giants. Zimborski says, quote, Zwack is a 2021 draftee having a good first full season in the minors. A low 90s sinker isn't going to wow anyone these days, but he's had enough success in A-ball that he's worth checking in on to see if he can surpass that AA wall and can stymie lower grade pitching prospects. Zapucki is a better known name, spending the last two seasons in AAA and with two unfortunately unforgettable appearances in the majors so far. They both didn't go well. This is Ben speaking. They didn't go well. Actually, his one start came against the Giants this year, and he allowed 9 runs on 4 homers in an inning and a third. Ruff was in the lineup, and Zapucki, a lefty, struck him out twice. So there's some strange, there's just a strange situation there, but I'm not judging him based on the one outing. So continuing on with this report, Zimborski says, quote, I'm not convinced that he won't have a future as a fifth starter in the majors. One has to remember that unlike in the majors, minor league offense has exploded rather than evaporated. So Zapucki's decent performance in the high minors makes him worth a flyer. Seymour doesn't get a lot of press in the scouting world, and while he's got solid velocity, certainly better than Zwack or Zapucki, he lacks consistent secondary pitches. His debut has been very good, but I wouldn't take it too seriously. 23-year-olds ought to be pitching well against A-ball hitters. So anyway, that's the report coming back to the Giants. I think that this move makes sense for them, and I wish Darren Ruff nothing but the best in New York. I think for a team that can just allow him to platoon and face left-handed pitching and not play the field too often and not overexpose him in left or whatever the Giants were doing that wasn't really working, it makes sense, and he's probably going to go to the playoffs, and I wish him nothing but the best in that situation. So, of course, the Giants, like I said, also trade Kurt Casale and Matthew Boyd to the Mariners in exchange for minor leaguers Michael Stifler and catcher Andy Thomas. Stifler, a right-handed pitcher. I've never heard of either of these guys. That's the thing. They're minor leaguers. We'll get reports, and tomorrow we'll go into a little bit more depth here, but it's a minor move. Giants, it's a vote of confidence in Bart, and they also acquired this catcher from the Rays, who goes on to their 40-man in Ford Proctor yesterday, and they have Wins, and they have, I mean, Wins has not done well with the Giants, so I'd like to see Proctor probably more than I'd like to see Wins at this point. And then they trade Trevor Rosenthal, who they had just signed 12 days ago, to the Brewers for Tristan Peters, an outfielder just promoted to AA, who on MLB Pipeline's prospect list was number 19 in the Brewers system. So the Giants sold, but they didn't completely sell, nor did they make buying moves, even though they didn't completely sell. So coming up next, in addition to having now talked about what the Giants did at the trade deadline, we're going to talk about what the Giants didn't do, which may even be the bigger story. So why didn't they trade Rodon next? But first, if you haven't tried Built Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough. This is speaking to my heart because I promise you, cookie dough is my favorite. and these are covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite. Cookie dough chunk puffs have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it, plus it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff, whether you need a snack for a workout, a late night treat, or you just need to grab a quick bite. Built is the perfect protein bar and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, ditch the fat, ditch the sugar, grab yourself a Built bar. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15. All right, as promised, we're going to talk about what the Giants didn't do at the trade deadline. They did not trade Carlos Rodon, even though they appeared to be in sell mode. As soon as we're hearing, they traded Darren Ruff, they traded Kurt Casale, Matthew Boyd, and Trevor Rosenthal. It seemed like the next step in the process was going to be not just Carlos Rodon, but Joc Pederson and anybody else, potentially. Wilmer Flores, Dom Leon, Tommy Lestellick, guys with value, guys with less value, just... It seemed like they were ready to trade anybody, and I bet you that they probably were. But what's important to note, Rodon, we keep calling him a rental. It's not quite that simple because he does have this opt-out, and we talked about how that's a little bit of a confounding factor potentially for other teams because if he gets injured, he can opt in. Although I would argue if it's a minor injury and he opts in, you're still getting potentially an ace next year on a one-year deal, which is a great deal. So only if it was a really serious injury that would affect 2023 performance would I worry about that if I was an acquiring team. But obviously, there's some risk there for an acquiring team. But he's likely to opt out, which would classify him as a rental. Some of the other top rentals in this market included the Cubs catcher Wilson Contreras and the Red Sox DH JD Martinez. And then so with Rodon, none of those three got moved. And the Cubs not moving Contreras classifies as arguably the biggest surprise of all on deadline day because they're not in contention at all. Unlike the Giants, who you can make a case that they're still in the race. Fangraphs has their playoff odds at 17%. It's obviously not great odds, but it's not zero. I don't actually have it pulled up, but the Cubs, oh, I do have it pulled up here. The Cubs are at zero. Rounded to one decimal point. They're obviously not eliminated yet, but 0.0%. The Giants at 16.8, according to Fangraphs. So the fact that these rental players, Rodon included, were not traded tells me that the offers simply weren't good enough and that teams, because that's the thing, the teams trying to acquire these players like to kind of lowball you and say, look, we're only getting this player for 2 months, maybe three if you throw in a good postseason. We're just not going to give you what you want. And what for the Giants, I mean, for the Cubs especially, like you could make a case they should just take anything they can get. But one factor that is not thought about enough is the qualifying offer, which the Giants can give to Rodon, which means they would get draft pick compensation in the range of about 75th overall pick, plus the extra bonus pool money that comes with that, that you can spend creatively like the Giants did in 2020 with Kyle Harrison. But yeah, so not trading a guy like Wilson Contreras or Rodon, you get to then give them the qualifying offer and get draft pick compensation if they leave. But also for the Giants to trade Rodon, it had to be worthwhile given that as slim as the odds are, and I wouldn't call it 20-ish percent chance that slim. It's not great, but you've got 2 months to let this thing play out. He is a difference maker on the mound. And so I said this. This was the title of the episode yesterday. The Giants should trade Carlos Rodon, but only for a significant return. And evidently, the significant return just wasn't there. And it wasn't just the Giants. It's not like we're seeing rental players get traded for significant returns and the Giants were just stuck sitting on their hands or whatever. These rental players didn't get moved, even more obvious cases like Wilson Contreras of the Cubs. And so I don't really blame them for that, for not moving him if the deal just wasn't there. You shouldn't trade him for some kind of marginal return when he has value to you this year and you still have a shot. And I know that it's not a great shot and Here's the thing, though. If they get into a postseason series, I know Logan Webb hasn't looked good recently, but if they can find their way in and you have Rodon and you have maybe Webb pitching better and Wood and Cobb pitching better, they've been better lately. You give yourself a shot. And so it had to be worth it, and evidently it wasn't. But where I get a little confused is, if you're not going to sell these big pieces, then why not make small additions? They didn't make any moves to address their problematic defense at all. JD Davis doesn't help the defense, and nobody they acquired seems like an immediate help to their defense. And so this was something we kept hearing about that they were targeting at the deadline, and they just simply didn't do it. That being said, a lot of the players we talked about that could help the Giants defensively didn't even get traded. Like Joey Wendell didn't get dealt. Ramon Laureano didn't get dealt. Whit Merrifield got dealt at the last minute. I thought he would have fit the Giants pretty well, but there's some questions about the bat, but he is a good defender and a good runner. So I would have liked perhaps Whit Merrifield, but in terms of guys who are actually traded today or in the days leading up to today, I didn't necessarily see anyone who made a ton of sense for the Giants, and that the price wasn't that high, and I would have wondered why didn't the Giants get in on that. And I don't think the Giants were in a position to go out there and make a huge splash like the Padres did with getting Juan Soto, which we'll talk about in a second. But also, relievers came at a steep price, and not a lot of them were moved. There were a lot of guys we thought would be moved who weren't. And, for example, the relievers on the Tigers, and their GM said the offers just didn't move the needle enough. And so you can understand the Giants not wanting to give up impactful minor leaguers for win now moves when their current now position is not great. So I kind of understand, like, perhaps they were in on some of these guys and the other teams were just like, that's not enough of a return. So I kind of get not offering a lot. And I also get the other teams not accepting that. I perhaps wish the Giants would have gone a little further to maybe get a reliever or two and or get a defensive help player or two. They did, in Zapucki, get a guy who apparently is going to move to the bullpen and could help them right away. Like I said, he has pitched in the majors. He's got like 5 career innings. Hasn't gone great, but that was as a starter, and I think they view him as a guy who could be even better as a reliever. And we're not going to judge him based on 5 innings at the major league level, and he's got good minor league numbers. So coming up in just a minute, Juan Soto to the San Diego Padres. What does it mean for the Giants? Are they really as doomed as it seems? All of that in just a minute. All right, as promised, we are going to talk about Juan Soto, the prize of this deadline, possibly one of the biggest trades ever made, going to the San Diego Padres. And in fact, Farhan Zaidi said that the Giants were in on Soto and that no one's off the table from their minor league system. So look, that's going to raise some controversy. I'm not going to get into is it true or isn't it true. He said that they were in on Soto. He didn't say like we thought we were going to get him. He just said we were in. We listened, you know, we made offers, and the Nationals gravitated towards what the Padres were offering. And it's not surprising given what the Padres ended up giving up. They gave up CJ Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, Robert Hassel III, something Wood, I'm blanking on his first name. These are really quality prospects and players. And it's kind of the equivalent, it's certainly the equivalent of Luciano Harrison and then another player on that level and then another player who's kind of like last year's Luis Matos, plus a young arm in the low levels of the minors who's been great since debuting professionally. So it was a big haul. And the Padres also got Josh Bell in this trade. And there was supposedly Eric Hosmer was going to go to the Nationals, which would be the opposite of like taking on Corbin. It would be the Nationals were going to be paying more to get a better prospect kind of return. And so Luciano and Harrison are equivalent in some ways to like CJ Abrams and Mackenzie Gore, except they're already in the majors, so further advanced. And so the Giants, to best this offer, I'm not sure it was even possible. I'm not sure that the Giants could put together a better package than what the Padres put together here. So what does this mean for the San Francisco Giants moving forward? Well, there's no doubt. It's just enviable, and it's depressing if you're a Giants fan to look at LA, to look at San Diego, and then look at the Giants roster. From a star talent perspective, the Dodgers were already loaded, and then they just continue to reload and add more players. Thankfully, LA didn't do a whole lot at this deadline. They didn't get Soto, I guess is a good thing, but he goes to another division rival, and it could be argued it's even worse because now there's two juggernauts. But also, the Padres haven't really proven themselves to be a great team. They haven't had a winning record over a full season since I think the year that they went toe-to-toe with the Giants in 2010 for the division crown. And so they were supposed to be great last year, and they ended up below 500. But look, there's no sugarcoating it. They got Juan Soto. Soto is one of the very best players in the game. He's not having a great year this year. Defense has been bad. Offense has been really good, but the defense has been so bad that he hasn't rated as a great player this year, but I would expect him to reemerge as a great player moving forward. He is only under contract for two more years after this year. So many have said the Giants are doomed for the next 10 years or 15 years. Well, not necessarily, because he's probably going to test free agency as Scott Boras clients do. And hopefully the Giants are involved. I think the Padres certainly moved ahead of the Giants in terms of likelihood of signing Soto. That's just the reality of when a player goes to a team, they're more likely than not to kind of end up back on that team. So it's bad news for the Giants. There's just no getting around it. But at the same time, it used to be more important to win the division than it is now. Like, when you either won the division or you had to go to a one-game playoff, that was your best shot, that there was a real importance to winning the division. It could be argued that it's more important now, except only if you have one of the best two records among division winners in the game. Because if you win the division, but the other two division winners in the league are better than you, you don't get a first round bye, and the other two do. So it's only a big deal if you have one of the top two records in the league. And the Dodgers were already in that position anyway. And so here's the thing. Even though both the Dodgers and the Padres are loaded, even if they're going toe-to-toe 100 wins every year, one of them is not skipping that best of three every year, no matter what. And for the Giants, you could be finished in third and get the same type of deal as the team that finishes in second. So it's not quite as bad as it seems in some ways, but in other ways, just from a star talent perspective and just interest in the Giants, and you see your rivals doing these major moves, and you've got, you know, you're getting J.D. Davis at the deadline and trading, you know, for minor leaguers, and you're claiming guys off waivers all the time, and that's kind of how you're building your roster. I don't think that's for sure how it's going to continue into eternity, but for now, it's been rough to see. And so, yeah, the Padres got Soto, and there's no sugarcoating it. It's just not a great look for the San Francisco Giants, and hopefully they go into the offseason with some urgency and maybe make some major moves, and maybe you try to sign an Aaron Judge, who's a local kid and grew up a Giants fan, and he wants to come home. So bring him home, and I want to see that. But then even still, you've got one Aaron Judge, and the Padres have Soto and Tatis and Machado, and the Dodgers have Betts and Freeman and Trey Turner, who's also a free agent, so maybe he leaves. I don't know. It's not great. But I also think it's not a disaster scenario. Like, if you just take care of your own business and win 95 games, you're going to the playoffs, kind of regardless of what the Dodgers and Padres do. Facing them in the playoffs would be tough, but put together a great pitching staff and try to compete with these guys and build a roster that stacks up. But so far, right now, this year, it doesn't stack up. So that's all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On MLB. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Once again, my name's Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out a lot, so thanks in advance. And thank you to everyone who's done so already. Can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. More trade reaction and also reaction to tonight's game. It's important for the Giants because they're thinking they're still in it. And so winning games is still important. So more of that tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. Stay locked on Giants.